Welcome to Einhorn Collaborative's Through the Prism series. We're asking people the same five questions to help see our shared humanity in a new light. It's a reminder that everyone has a powerful story that deserves to be heard. And this conversation is with Manu Meal, CEO of Bridge USA. Manu reflects on the influence of his early years in India, the lessons of curiosity and empathy that shaped his worldview, and why presence, not blind optimism, is the foundation for hope. Let's listen. I want to start with your earliest memory of the power of human connection. When do you remember really feeling that?
Yeah, so my earliest memory would actually take me back to India. So I was born in New Jersey. I then lived with my grandparents for the first 5 or 6 years of my life in India in a small village called Haryana. And as I was growing up there, I actually, believe it or not, my grandfather would oftentimes take me to different settings and different environments to expose me to different parts of the culture, to meet different people, to engage. I didn't remember a lot of that, though I had a couple of key memories because it was such an important part of my life. And what happened was when I came back to the U.S., I started meeting all of these American kids with different backgrounds, different identities, different ethnicities. And integrating into that environment was both a challenge, but what was fascinating was that the power and lesson that I learned in India of being open, being ready, being able to listen, to open up your heart, to not judge, that was so powerful because when I got back, it was like, this is not about me, this is about everyone else. So let me create space for the other. And that is what sort of started building my friendships. And at the age of 7, I distinctly remember so many engagements I had with young kids, and that sort of DNA of constant connection, constant feeling, constant empathizing is what has carried with me over the last 10, 15 years. Even though I started college as a pre-med student, I had no interest in any of this stuff. And then we had these protests, which we can talk about.
You know, I have a 9-year-old, so I'm putting myself in his shoes and wondering if I were to move him just a couple years earlier to an entirely different environment, how he would handle that. And so I know what it is to be a 7-year-old in a new environment because I'm sort of raising one. And I'm really impressed that your parents sort of laid that foundation those first 7 years. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and it was not at all, honestly, intentional. My mom and my dad had immigrated to the U.S. in 97. They were trying to get set up. My mom was trying to be a doctor. So there's so many challenges. And so my grandparents said, hey, I'll take care of this guy. And obviously, that's very difficult as a parent. But I think it laid the foundation for what I'm doing now, because after I came back from India, I moved every 2 years till high school. And then high school, I was there in Boston for 4 years. And then I went to the West Coast. So it was constantly meeting new people and constantly being exposed to different environments. And the biggest thing I learned in all of those interactions, again, is if you want to create space for other people and build relationships, you have to remember that it's not about you. And that means that you got to listen, you got to show up, and you have to be able to adapt.
Let's talk about values, the values that sort of guide your work today.
The most important value for me is the value of curiosity. I think that we live in a world that is so filled with chaos and filled with constant change, constant tumult. As you know, I'm at a conference right now where we're talking about 2 blocks away from the White House about how do you listen and engage and work in this world that is constantly changing. And anyone that claims to know they know what the future looks like, anyone that claims to know that their ideas are right 100% of the time, anyone that's like, man, I've got this figured out, but you don't, that's a snake oil salesman right there today. I think that curiosity means you're showing up with an idea of what the world ought to look like. You've got your own beliefs, but you're ready to listen. And I think being able to listen at a time of tumult and change allows you to not only be ready as a personal human for this world of constant change, but I think it allows you to show up to see other people. And I think people are just looking to be heard. People are looking for someone to be sitting there saying, hey, I hear you, I want to listen to you, and I want to work with you. And if you can make that gesture at this time when everyone else is ideologically rigid and when everyone else is showing up with outrage, I think that that's incredibly powerful.
You know, I was thinking about listening and then asking questions. Right? Like if people weren't to ask more questions, just genuine curiosity and really just listen, but also ask the questions that you're on your heart. I wonder if that would make a more empathetic world, if you will. What do you think about that?
Yeah, if you lean in and ask questions, it not only I think builds an empathetic world, but it's actually a great way to respond. I think that people oftentimes hear, you know, you sitting there and asking questions or saying like, we got to empathize, we got to be able to care for each other as some sort of kumbaya exercise where you're basically letting the other side trample all over you. But I actually think curiosity is an amazing both defensive and offensive weapon. It disarms people. When you meet someone and say, tell me more, suddenly they're like, oh my God, this person actually cares. And that is uniquely powerful today.
Tell us what you're working on right now.
Right now, we're building college chapters across the country in an organization called Bridge USA, which the Einhorn Collaborative has been incredibly supportive of. And the vision is that in order to empower the next generation to lead in this world of constant change, we have to equip them with the ability to listen, to bridge build, to be able to talk to people that are different than themselves. Because I think that bridge building is a 21st century skill. I think it's just as important as trying to understand AI in a world where, imagine I told you, you have the United States, 330 million people, all of whom are different, with different backgrounds, different ethnicities, heavily armed, trying to make it work. And you're asking, well, how do leaders succeed in that very diverse experiment? You got to be able to equip people with the capacity to listen. And so what we do is we build college chapters, and these chapters are civic spaces where people of different backgrounds can engage, can listen, can have tough, productive disagreements. And ultimately, they leave these conversations, not maybe changing their minds, but again, with that desire for curiosity at this moment. And I think that's really powerful today. I think right now the norm is outrage. The norm on social media, the norm in the world, the way you get influence, the way you get power is you don't show up and be curious. That is not how you actually build a productive society. So these chapters create the norms. They create the social conditions. You've got all these students around you and they're passionate about curiosity of all things. That is really powerful. And the final thing that these chapters do is they build community. They show students that when you're sitting there and you're holding back and you're like, man, I wish we could have these conversations in a more productive way. You're not the only one. You're actually part of the silent majority. And whatever they're trying to do is curiosity and bridge building. And that's a key part of our work.
Can we talk about the future and what you may be super hopeful about right now?
You know, here's the problem with hope is it's like when you're chasing something, it gets farther and farther away. We force ourselves to be hopeful. Everywhere I go, people say, hey, where's hope? Where's hope? Where's hope? How about this? Instead of trying to chase hope, instead of trying to chase a certain desire for an optimistic frame of the world, let's just live in our own shoes. Be present in your daily interactions. Listen to the doorman that opens the door every day for you that we may not pay attention to. Go down to the grocery store and the cashier that's there. Ask them how their day is going. Be a little present. And I think when we can be present, when we can be grounded, instead of trying to chase hope or this sort of esoteric value of peace in this very tumultuous world, I think what we start to do is we start to be more curious in our daily lives. And I think what that does is it puts everything into perspective. When you combine perspective against the sort of gush of constant change in the world that we live in, I think it's incredibly powerful. And I think then hope naturally comes because rather than chasing it, what you find is, man, my neighbors are not so crazy. The person that I thought I could never learn anything from just shared a story that was very profound and powerful. It opens up your world to the things that we aren't noticing. And that's, for me, like what not only brings hope, but it just sort of keeps me going. Because the work is hard. It's challenging. But what work worth doing is not challenging and difficult. So let's not chase hope. Let's just be present. It'll come to you.
I love that. I may change my question entirely and say, how are you being more present every day? Final question is around change. I'm interested to know if there was a time in your life where a person or an event changed your paradigm about something or changed how you thought about the world.
As you heard at the start of this conversation, I moved around a bunch while I was younger. This value of curiosity, empathy, listening to people was sort of ingrained in me without me searching for it. It was just a survival tactic. But I was set on the path of trying to be a doctor. That's what, as coming from Indian parents, you're either a doctor or an engineer. That's like the immigrant pathway. And I show up to college and at UC Berkeley on the West Coast. And second semester of freshman year, we have this speaker come to campus named Milo Yiannopoulos, and it led to some of the largest protests in Berkeley's history about free speech, about dialogue, about deliberation. It cost the university hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages. I was this teeny freshman walking past a cafe, and the window was broken in, and inside there's a TV. It said, CNN, UC Berkeley students protest free speech. And what was crazy about that moment was it was not just this protest that happened. The television crew that was filming that was standing right next to me. And it was sort of the breaking of the fourth wall where you go from being a spectator to someone that's actually involved in something. And those protests were so tumultuous that the next day, me and some random people, we got together and we said, this is not normal. This is not okay. Because it wasn't about free speech. It wasn't about the speaker. What it was about was people had lost so much hope in each other that they felt the need to be violent in expressing their views, both on the left and the right. This wasn't a partisan issue. And so in response to that, we hosted this conversation and dialogue where we brought together the people that protested the speaker, the people that were passionate about the speaker. It was honestly a very crazy idea, and it was very naive. And yet, my co-founder, Ross, had this brilliant idea at that time. He said, what if we open up this conversation, not with people's policy preferences, but each other's vulnerability? Like, talk about who you are as a human. Talk about your mom. Talk about your sister. Talk about, you know, what brought you to this campus. Why did you leave class to protest? And that vulnerability cut through human ignorance like a hot knife through butter. And more importantly, it showed me that we radically underestimate the power of a conversation. We radically overestimate how divided we are. And that changed the paradigm of my work. I was so passionate about that work. It turned into this tiny little thing called Bridge Berkeley, and that grew. And over time, we have Bridge USA.
It's so important right now, and we appreciate all the work you do. And we appreciate the time you've taken to go through the prism with me today.
Thank you, Leticia.
To hear more of our Through the Prism series, visit einhorncollaborative.org.